Kedushin, Perik Base, Mishnah Hay 2:5, and the Mishnah discusses more scenarios in which one gets married under false or mistaken pretenses, starting out by saying, Hamakadesh Esaisha Almanash Einale Nadarim. A man agrees to marry a woman, but he says it's on condition that she doesn't have Nadarim, she hasn't taken certain vows that restrict her ability to enjoy basic things of life, like drinking wine or eating meat, wearing colored garments, and the like. So, if you make such a condition, and it turns out that v'nimtzu ale nedarim, turns out she actually has taken on a vow to not eat meat, etc., so then eina mekudesha, she's not going to be, the marriage isn't binding, for the very same reasons we said in the previous Mishnayos, Mishnah Beis and Gimel, it was a condition that wasn't met. Now, what happens if the Mishnah now says a new point that we haven't said up to now, kansa stam. He didn't realize she was a vegetarian, let's say, that she's not just a vegetarian, she had vowed never to eat meat, and then therefore he marries her, not without any explicit conditions. But then, you know, v'nimtzu aleha nedarim. He says after 2 weeks being married, how come we have tofu every night for dinner? And she says, oh, you know, because I took a neder not to eat meat. Well then, says the Mishnah, teitze b'loch suba. So now, she is going to be divorced from him, and she loses her ksuba, because we're saying that presumably a person would not be agreeable to marry a woman who took a nadarim that restrict her ability to enjoy herself or to live a happy life, and he doesn't want to be married to someone who's taken on these nadarim that restrict her. But we don't know for certain that he would have objected the time that he gave her the ring, etc., and therefore she will still need a get. But the get is misuffic. The get, we're saying, so we're saying things which sound contradictory. On the one hand, we're saying she's not married and therefore she loses her ksuba. On the other hand, we're saying she is married and requires a get to marry somebody else. And the reason is because since we're not sure what he had in mind, it wasn't explicit, so we have a suffic, an uncertain situation, and therefore we go suffic d'oraisa l'chumra. We're afraid of the possibility they're married on a d'oraisa level, and therefore we make sure she gets a get before marrying somebody else. But since we're not sure they were married and she was entitled to her ksuba, therefore we have like hamotzu m'chavera l'varaya. She'll have to bring proof somehow that he was agreeable to it. If she can't, then he'll say, listen, I was never agreeable to this marriage in the first place, I was misled, and she won't be able to get him to pay her ksuba. Similarly, if he says, Almanash ein bah mumin, if he says, I'll marry her on condition she has no physical blemishes, and I'll define what those are in a moment. Venim tu bah mumin, it turns out she does, so then ein mekudeshes, of course she's not married for the very same reasons we said up to now, repeatedly, he made a stipulation which wasn't met. Now, like the previous case, the Mishnah, where we say a normal person can be presumed to not want to marry a woman who's like called a nadranit, she's someone who's bound by restrictive nadarim. So too, we can assume that a person is not agreeable to marry a woman who has these significant, you know, blemishes in her body. And therefore, if kansa stam, if he married her without making an explicit stipulation regarding any mumen, then v'nimtzu ba mumen, it turns out she has one of these blemishes, then teitze shlo b'ksuba. Then again, she will, like the previous case, we consider the marriage not binding, but it's just suffic. It's just probably not binding, meaning she won't get her ksuba because we assume he wouldn't have agreed to this marriage if he'd have known that she had these blemishes. However, we're not totally sure, and maybe he, at the time he gave her the ring, he was would have been agreeable to it, and therefore she'll require a get. Now it says the Mishnah, what are the mumen we're talking about? Kol mumen haposen b'kohanim, posen b'nashim. It's the same list of blemishes that render a kohen unfit to do the avoda, serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Now that's quite a long list of items. It's basically the seventh parak of Maseches Bechoros. I won't itemize them all here, but the gist of them are things that, you know, the person has, like some sort of significant deformity where one limb is disproportionately large or larger than the other one, or a hunchback, and these kind of things. So, you know, there's significant things that make a person like kind of stare, if you will, in the context of Bechoros. So these kind of physical deformities, if they're so bad that Kohen is considered unfit to serve, so too a woman would be considered unfit to be married unless, you know, her husband agreed to it and knew ahead of time. So obviously the case in our Mishnah is one in which he didn't know she had this blemish. Either he had an agent to it without him seeing, or she concealed it from him, or something like that. He didn't know. If he could have known, and should have known, or would have known, and he married her anyways, we assume that he was agreeable at the time, and therefore this Mishnah wouldn't really apply in truth. Now, in addition, the Gemara in the Mishnah in Ksubas, and the truth is this very Mishnah exists in Ksubas word for word. The Mishnah in Ksubas lists another 8 blemishes that a woman could have that are peculiar to a woman that aren't applicable to Kohanim and their Avoda, but they do constitute the kind of blemish that a man would safely be presumed to object to and therefore not want to marry such a woman unless he agreed to it explicitly. So those 8 are if she is exceptionally sweaty, or if she has like very bad breath or some other kind of part of her body smells terrible. If she has a very deep voice that makes her like really unusually deep and strange. If she has a large mole on her face, large meaning like the size of a coin, or if she even has a smaller mole but it's got like hair coming out of it. Similarly, if she has like a big scar from like a dog that bit her or something like that, or if her breasts are like a very disproportionate size, one like a whole tefach bigger than the other, or if they're very widely spaced apart, more than a tefach, a hand's breadth amount of space between the two, like 4 inches. So then these are kinds of things that are considered to be blemishes that a typical man would object to, and therefore he could claim if he knew it, he wouldn't have agreed to it, and therefore was a mekach tos, a marriage manner of false pretenses. The consequence, again, would be if he didn't know and didn't say and they got married, he could, upon discovery, he could say, I object to it, and she would not get a ksuba, but she still would require a get in order to marry somebody else, because maybe he wouldn't have objected at the time. At all events, he certainly can't, you know, 5 years later turn around and say, oh, I decided I don't like her after all, and I'm objecting to that mole on her face. No, that would be too late. Presumably, if he found out about her, knew about it, and didn't object at the time, then indeed he was agreeable, in which case, this is no longer an excuse to say it was a mekach tos.